Good morning, Barnhill Community High School, and welcome to the school's first ever radio show. My name's Caden, I'm a sixth form student, and I will be your host for today. We have a range of things to go over today, including a segment from Mr. Clark in light of Pride Month, an interview with four year nines talking about their experience meeting a Lord, and to finish it off, we have a record of the week from Miss Dale. Before we get into Mr. Clark's speech, I want to briefly talk about Richard Branson's journey to space, and in doing so, I am joined by Layla, a fellow sixth form student and current deputy head student. So Layla, what are your thoughts on the new frontier of space exploration and Richard Branson's journey into the outer atmosphere?
I think it's incredible, if I'm being completely honest, because this is going to be a large part of the future, and a lot of people have been talking about it for a while, and many people want to go to space on commercial trips, and in the future it is going to become commercial, maybe not right now, but eventually it will be. Would you travel to space?
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely something I'd want to do. I'd probably wait until it's a bit more safer to go to space, because I feel like right now they're still developing the technology for commercial flights and everything. But I guess if Richard Branson went to space, it must have some sort of safety to it. So here are a few statistics about Richard Branson's journey on the Virgin Galactic. It traveled 170 kilometers in 90 minutes. It was 50,000 feet in the air, which is a total of 16 kilometers. And to take the experience for commercial use, it cost £175,000.
I don't have £175,000.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to wait. Probably, I would say it might take like 10 years until it gets down to prices, like commercial prices.
10 years, I'm sure it will take longer.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll make cheaper alternatives for the different components to make the aircraft as time goes on. It's a bit unfortunate, obviously, like, we don't have the capability to go on the commercial flight now, but I still think it's really interesting to see the development of space exploration in general.
Now, I heard they're also planning on shooting films on the moon and even getting a hotel up there.
Yeah, that's going to be... It'll be big for the entertainment industry. Like, I could see a lot of profit coming into that, but I think that would just be, like, a really cool thing in general to have. Imagine a movie being shot on the moon.
They would be so much more realistic, and there'll be such an immersive experience for cinema viewers.
Yeah, I can imagine movies like, sci-fi movies like Interstellar and stuff.
Yeah.
Them being shot on the moon rather than just as like a background set. But I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work, like shooting a movie on the moon. So I also know that Elon Musk, obviously, with his SpaceX company, is planning to go to Mars in, I think it's 2025, which will be really interesting. I'm really looking forward to that. And Blue Origin, which is Jeff Bezos' company, I'm actually not too sure on any missions they're doing.
I don't know either.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, they'll probably have something in the works, but the main two private companies right now anyways are SpaceX and Virgin Galactic. Oh, that's the name of the aircraft, actually. I think just Virgin in general, or Richard Branson's company. I think it's really cool we have private companies that are now investing in the space market, because when we were all growing up, the main space agency was NASA, but now we have sort of like one person such as Elon Musk and Richard Branson that has funded the whole company, and I feel like it gives more control for them to do what they want, and they will have more funding rather than NASA, which I don't think gets a lot of government spending from the US government.
Now, I didn't know much about Richard Branson before this, but I do know that at 16, he started a business with just $2,000, which is about £1,500. And now he's hit the $1 billion mark, and he's even exceeding it. Considering the age we're at, there's not many risks we take, if any at all, that actually have money at stake. Yet, a lot of us still hold back and don't take those risks when that could be something that could take us very far in the future, just like Richard Branson. On the surface, it's just another cool space mission. But if you think about it...
Yeah, it can also show how far you can go with a little ambition and a lot of imagination. Well, Layla, I appreciate you taking out the time to come and talk about space exploration.
Thank you for having me.
Now I'm going to hand it over to Mr. Clark with his segment in light of Pride Month.
Thank you. Good morning, Barnhill, and welcome to the Barnhill radio station. It is June 2021. I'd like to begin by just talking about some legendary, iconic figures of the past who are great figures in their chosen fields. In the world of science, Alan Turing, who cracked and intercepted coded messages that the Nazis were sending, and so helped to save thousands of lives. He shortened the war and helped to defeat the Nazis. I think it's fair to say that he was a mathematical genius. In the realm of pop music, we have Freddie Mercury, who's regarded as one of the greatest singers in the history of popular music. He had a 4-octave vocal range. Obviously, he was the lead singer of the group Queen. In the art world, Jean-Michel Basquiat, who is an American artist of Haitian and Puerto Rican descent, who's best known for his neo-expressionist paintings that helped to sort of spread graffiti art and have it accepted. Florence Nightingale, the famous nurse who transformed hospital care in the 19th century and transformed the training and professionalism of the nursing profession. In literature, Selma Lagerlöf, who's the first female writer ever to be awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature in 1909. In 1992, the Swedish author's letters to her Jewish lover and fellow writer Sophie Elkann were published in a book whose title translates in English to You Teach Me to Be Free. Lagerlöf was the first woman ever to feature on a Swedish banknote, gracing the 20 krona note when it was created in 1991. And in going back to World War II, a British woman by the name of Roberta Cow, who was a World War II fighter pilot and, believe it or not, a racing car driver. Now, this trans woman spent 5 months in a German prisoner of war camp after being captured, where she was forced to resort to killing and eating cats to survive. Now, why am I talking about these legendary characters? Well, they share not only immortality, but their sexuality too. For June is Pride Month, a month dedicated to a number of things. Firstly, it's dedicated to remembering an act of resistance, the Stonewall Riots that occurred in June 1969 at a gay club in Greenwich Village in New York City called the Stonewall Inn. And the riot was really an act of resistance against the New York Police Department's over-policing and brutality, really, against the predominantly gay clientele. At the forefront was a black trans bisexual woman by the name of Marsha P. Johnson. And Pride Month is celebrated every year as a tribute to those involved in the Stonewall riots. Pride Month is for everyone to embrace who they are and let the world know. And for those figures in history to be reclaimed for who and what they truly were. Pride Month also offers an opportunity for members of the community to commemorate those who have lost their lives as a result of hate crimes, and for those who lost their lives in the HIV/AIDS pandemic, for example, Freddie Mercury. For all of those historical characters that I mentioned, they could not live as openly as they would have wished. They could not be free. And yet still today, in a recent survey in the United States, 43% of LGBTQ plus employees have not revealed their orientation at work. 53% are not open about their sexual orientation with their own family. And let us not forget very recent victims of hate crimes towards the LGBTQ communities. In April 1999, Andrea Dykes, age 27, John Light, age 32, and 31-year-old Nick Moore were killed in the Admiral Duncan pub in central London as a result of a bomb that was placed to target the predominantly gay clientele. The perpetrator had already targeted the black community in Brixton and the Bangladeshi community in Brick Lane, East London. In June 2016, 49 people were killed and 53 more were wounded in a mass shooting at Pulse nightclub, a gay club in Orlando, Florida. This was the deadliest terrorist attack in the United States since the September the 11th attacks in 2001. In one of her letters, Selma Langeloff wrote to Sophie Elkann, "I have you with me everywhere. See you and hear you and live with you. Once I can't do that anymore, I will long for you." Surely pride is at its beating heart a celebration of love and the right to love and live as freely as anyone deserves in the open and tolerant society that we cherish in Britain today in the 21st century. Thank you very much for listening.
I think Mr. Clark's speech was very insightful as it explored the struggles the LGBTQ community have faced and is still currently facing in modern day society. Now it's time to hear about the Year 9's experience meeting a Lord, so again I will pass it over to Mr. Clark, who conducted the interview.
In the week before half term, a group of Year 8 students interviewed a Lord from the House of Lords. And I now have those four students in front of me to reflect on what they learned and what they thought after that interview. Maymuna, what did you learn about the House of Lords from that interview?
I've learned that the House of Lords can only postpone what the House of Commons decide, and like they're not seen as more, but they're more educated and they can decide more independently.
Excellent, thank you. Hamna, was there anything that surprised you about the House of Lords?
I was surprised that the House of Lords is unelected. It shows how independent each member is. I was also surprised that you could become a Lord member by being a descendant of another Lord.
How do you feel about that hereditary peership?
I think it's something good that our country does because it gives people like a sense of opportunity, and it makes them feel like they're a part of this country.
I think you're right. Risham, what was your perception of the House of Lords before?
My perception of the House of Lords before was that they were lazy and didn't do much compared to the House of Commons.
Did the interview with the peer change your mind about the House of Lords?
Yes, because I found out that they actually do a lot more. They scrutinise the House of Commons a lot.
Thank you. Reet, what is your view about the role of the House of Lords in 21st century Britain?
I've now realised that the House of Lords are much more important than what I expected, and that they decide a lot more than what I would have thought before. And they also make a lot of changes that ensure that the country is as best as it can be.
Let me ask you this collectively, and if you would like to sort of come near the microphone. Do you think that the House of Lords should be elected, as many people have suggested? Have a think, and then you can just sort of voice it one by one. So whoever wants to step up first.
Not everyone is. I don't think the House of Lords should be elected, because not the people of this country. I'm not saying that everyone is uneducated, but there's loads of people who don't know the roles of the House of Lords. And because of that, there may be a bias in the decision.
I guess it would also become like a second House of Commons, because the House of Commons are already elected.
So are you saying, Risham, that you think that if it was elected, it would become dominated by party politics, not independent voices?
Yeah.
Maymuna, what are your thoughts on this one?
I think that they shouldn't be elected, only because there are other things in like Parliament that are elected. So then I feel like these like people that are elected for House of Lords, they've done something in their life that allows them to be part of the House of Lords.
And Ree, your final voice on this one.
Personally, I think that the House of Lords are fine just how they are, because if there's any big changes, then that might change how the House of Lords are perceived in the first place.
There you have it. That was Ree, Risham, Hamna, Maimuna, and their very valuable contribution to 21st century politics in Britain. Thank you very much indeed.
Well, it sounds like they had a really enjoyable time and learned a lot of interesting things from meeting a lord. All good things must come to an end, so unfortunately, we've nearly finished today's broadcast. However, we still have the record of the week, which is being introduced by Miss Dale.
Hi, it's Miss Dale here, aka DJ Dale for the day. Shout out to the Year 10s and the P department. This week's song of the week is being introduced by myself, and it's Harry Styles' Watermelon Sugar. Enjoy!
Tastes like strawberries on a summer evening, and it sounds just like a song. I want more berries and that summer feeling. It's so wonderful and warm. Breathe me in, breathe me out. I don't know. Like a song. I want your belly and that summer feeling. I don't know if I could ever go without watermelon sugar.
Thank you for tuning into Barnhill's first radio broadcast. I hope you enjoyed it and also learned something from it. This is me signing out, so with that being said, until next time.